Okay. I think we're rolling now. That thing got a little bit too technical for me there for a second. Well, guys, it's great to see everybody here today. Is there anyone who needs a notes page for the message today? If you do, we got some extras up here if you did not get one. It's great to be in God's house today, amen?
Amen.
As always, we're glad to see some people back that have been sick. Rodney had been sick for about a week. Good to see him back. Miss Nita, good to see you here today. We're certainly glad to see you and some of your family here with you today as well. And Mr. Bud and some of y'all that hadn't been able to be around a good bit, we are glad to see you here today. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalm chapter 37.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. We're going to look at Psalm chapter 37. And we're going to read a few verses from that. We're going to talk today about commitment. You know, when we mention the word commitment, a lot of us think of a lot of different things. We're committed to a lot of different things in life, aren't we? But what I want to try to shed some light on today is what we need to really be committed to in order to have a fulfilling life and in order to be moving in the direction God wants us to be. So we're going to read the first five verses. If you can, I'm going to ask you, if you will, stand to your feet in reverence and honor of reading God's word. We're going to read the first five verses of Psalm chapter 37. It says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." I want to go back and read verse 4 again 1 second. Look at that. "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." In other words, if we're a delight in God's eyes and we're doing what he's called us to do, we can reasonably expect he's going to give us some of the desires of our heart above and beyond the things that we have to have. So I take great comfort in knowing that too. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we thank you for this day. Thank you for your word, Lord. We can always lean on it. It's never going to come back void. It's always going to be there to teach us and move us in the right direction, God. In the next few minutes, let this be nothing about me, but let it all be about you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Guys, there's close to 100 million church members in America, according to some of the statistics we have. Yet, why are we not making more of an impact in the world? You ever thought about that? If there are supposedly 100 million church members in America, why is this world in the mess it's in? Because we have roughly what? Close to 300 million in the U.S., somewhere along in there. If a third of those people are church members, as this survey supposedly says, we ought to be making more of an impact in the world, shouldn't we? This world should not be as bad as it is if we've got that many people. Why are so many churches having so many empty pews on Sunday? Why is it that church just doesn't seem to be that important to some people anymore? They'd rather do other things than come into God's house. You see, I think there's a direct correlation in that number, that 100 million, and also the fact that a lot of those 100 million have definitely committed to doing things other than serving God. You see, it's one thing to have your name written on a membership card and be a member of a church, but it's something totally different to be sold out and serving Christ. Amen. You see, there's a difference there. We can be church members, but we don't necessarily become sold out people for Jesus just because of that. Why are there so few people coming on Sunday nights, Wednesday nights? I know we got a lot of things going on, but there are a lot of people that could come, but for whatever reason, they're just not coming on those days. The Holy Bible is the inspired, inerrant word of God. It's inspired of God. It was written by man, but it was inspired of God. It's inerrant. There are no errors in it. There are no errors in it. Yet, why do so few read it? I bet you if I were to ask right here today, how many of you have read your Bible more than once or twice this week, only a few people would be able to raise their hands here. If we truly believe that God's word is inerrant and inspired of God and that it's there to teach us and rebuke us and help us to become men and women of Christ that he wants us to be, we ought to be reading that book every day. Amen. Can I get a witness? We ought to be reading that book every day. We ought to be putting down these magazines. We ought to be putting down those cell phones. And we ought to be getting in God's Word. Amen. Amen. We ought to be letting something that can direct us and help us grow and help us mature be something that's important to us. Amen. We do what's important to us, don't we? We'll commit to things that are important to us. Well, I'm just going to challenge you here today. Why not let God be important to you in this new year? Why not let God direct what you do each and every day? Why not make some changes? We talked about change last week, and I felt like God was leading me now to say, okay, if you're going to change, you got to what? You got to commit. You got to be committed if you're going to be willing to make some changes. If God is a prayer-answering God, if He meant for us to ask and seek and knock, then why is there so little praying going on? God says we need to ask, we need to seek, we need to knock, and it'll be opened unto us. But yet there's a little, not very much praying that's going on in this day and age. And sometimes the only time we pray is when things aren't going right. Guys, God wants you to talk to Him every day, amen? He wants you to be His best friend. He's always going to be your Heavenly Father, but He wants to be your friend. A lot of people think, oh, I can't call on God because you're only supposed to do that when things aren't going right. Well, let me tell you something. If that's the case, then we serve a dead God, amen? We serve a God that's not there for us. He's there for us. He wants us to call on Him. He wants us to believe in Him. But there's not a whole lot of praying that's going on, I don't believe. I've talked to some people the other day. We got to talking about prayer, and I just said, well, what do you feel about prayer and praying? And you know what their response was? I haven't done a lot of it lately because God doesn't seem to answer my prayers. Let me tell you something. God's going to always answer your prayers in one of three ways. He's either going to straight up answer them and you're going to see it come to pass, whatever you've been praying about. He's going to say no, because that is not in my will for you. Or a lot of times He'll say, not right now. I've had a lot of not right nows in my life that when I got older, God answered that prayer. Anybody had that happen to him before in this place? Amen. Aren't you glad that He did it in the right time and not when you wanted it? That's the way it ought to be, because I'm going to tell you something. A lot of times when we're praying for God to do it for us right then, that's not what God wants. That's not the right time for us. And if He were to answer that prayer, it'd mess us up. So you see, God's going to always do what's best for us. He's going to always do what's best for us. If we believe there's a heaven and a hell, then why are we so quiet about the gospel? Why are we so quiet about the gospel? How many of you believe in heaven and believe that there is a hell? Raise your hand here today. Well, let me tell you something. You ought to be proclaiming the gospel of Christ. Amen. We got to proclaim it. Nobody is going to know about Jesus if we don't tell them. And that's just the bottom line. Because a lot of people are not going to come to church. They're living in ungodly conditions. There's nobody that's going to share the gospel with them. We are called to be ambassadors for Christ. We're called to be ministers for Christ. That doesn't mean you have to stand up and preach every Sunday to be a minister. The Great Commission has called us all to be ministers, right? We talked about that last week. But guys, I'm going to tell you something. If we're staying quiet about the gospel, there are going to be a lot of people that unfortunately one day are going to end up in hell because they have not heard about Jesus, and we're the vessel that God wants to use. We're the vessel that God wants to use. If we believe that there's none other name under heaven whereby we must be saved, then why aren't we sharing the message of His saving grace? I think the reason is very simple, guys. Lack of commitment. We got a lack of commitment. We're not committed to doing those things that are necessary to take the gospel and take Him into this lost and dying world in which we live. I want to look briefly this morning at what I consider to be the three B's of commitment. The three B's of commitment. The first one is this. We need to be committed to God. Can I get a witness on that? We need to be committed to God. I'm going to tell you, I've told you this before. There's three things in life that you ought to prioritize. Number one should be God. Number two should be your family. And number three should be any and everything else that falls under that. That could be jobs, that could be relationships, that could be leisurely activities. But you got to put God in His rightful place. If you're going to be committed to Him, you got to put Him in His rightful place. You got to make that commitment. God loved us so much, He gave His only Son to die for us. Now that's commitment, amen? That's commitment. When somebody's willing to give you some part of them to die for you, that's commitment. How many of you would go out and be nailed to a cross for a bunch of people you don't even know that are a bunch of sinners? Would you do that? Would anybody in here volunteer to walk out there right now, get alongside that fence, and just let somebody come and mow you down and kill you on behalf of a bunch of other sinners just so that they could be set free? Would you do that? I don't think so. I don't believe I would. I'd have to think long and hard about that one. But guess what? Jesus did it. He didn't even think twice about it. You know why? Because his Father knew that he was committed to the cause. And he was always going to be doing what was right. He gave his only Son so that we could have eternal life. Guys, we should love the Lord our God with all our heart. If you don't love Jesus with all your heart, then you're not completely committed to serving him. That's just the bottom line, guys. I can't be any more honest than that with you. If you don't love God with all your heart, if you're not willing to serve him with all your heart and soul and being, you're not completely committed to him. You're not completely committed to him. Guys, we got to love him with all our heart and soul and mind and strength. In other words, when you love him with all of those things, then you're totally committed. You're totally committed. And guess what? People are going to know that. They're going to know that. If we're committed to God, we can expect him to add unto us things that we ask for. That's what we just read in Psalm chapter 37, verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. You know why God doesn't answer your prayers the way you pray them sometimes? First of all, you're not delighting yourself unto him. He's not delighted with you. He's disappointed with you and me. Why? Because we have not done all we could do for him. So we can reasonably not expect to have him answer things that we're asking for when we're not a delight to him. We got to be a delight to him. We got to let Jesus know that, hey, God, you're the most important thing in my life. But I want you to know that. And then if we start praying for some things that we would like to see come to pass in our life, I believe that God's going to give them to us unless they're just totally detrimental to us if we are delighting ourselves in him. Amen. I believe that. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
I believe that will happen for you. But guys, you got to take that stand. You got to take that stand. Real commitment does not have an on and off switch. I just thought I'd add that one in there. Because I tell you what, I think a lot of believers, they want to flip the switch on when it's convenient for them and flip it off as soon as it's over with. And then not flip it back on again for another week, sometimes 2 weeks, sometimes once a year. You realize for some people, the only time they come to church is once or twice a year. What do you think you're getting out of that? You think you're pleasing God when you do that? Do you honestly think you're going to grow in the Lord by having that kind of church attendance in mind? It's not going to happen. You can't flip that switch on and off and on and off and on and off. You got to flip it on and leave it on, amen?
Amen.
You got to flip it on. You got to say, God, my switch is on for you, and I'm going to continue to serve you all the rest of my life. I'm never going to turn that switch off. When you do that, you know you're fully committed to him. You know you're fully committed to him. It's not a Sunday thing. It's a 24-hour-a-day thing, a 7-day-a-week, a 365-day-a-year thing. There is no vacation, and there is no retirement from serving God, amen. You can't just retire from it. You can't take a vacation from it. We've gotten to where now, even when we do go on vacation, you know what? If it falls on a Sunday, we go find a church to go to. You know why? Because it's that important to me to make sure I'm doing what I normally would do if I'd been in town that day. I'm not going to let that stand in the way of me going and continuing to serve God, because there is no time off if you're committed and you're sold out. There's no time off for that. The second B is this, and that is this. You need to be committed to family. You need to be committed to family. That's the second thing in your priority list you ought to have. Be committed to family. Guys, it's not surprising to me that statistics say that 50% of marriages in this decade, in this day and age, are ending in divorce. You know why? Because there's not a lot of emphasis put on the family. How many of you remember the days when you were growing up where mom and dad were sitting down at the table, were asking you how your day went, were talking about the Lord to you, were reading the Bible with you? Anybody remember days like that? Raise your hand. Amen. But see, guess what, guys? A lot of folks can't raise their hand because they weren't brought up doing that. And guys, I'm not faulting you. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying this. The reason a lot of marriages are ending in divorce today is because people were not brought up valuing those things. They weren't brought up taking the time to do those things. And that's not a mark against you. As long as you realize, especially our young people, as long as they realize, hey, when I grow up and when I get married and when I have a family, I'm going to do it the right way. I'm going to put my family's going to be more important to me than anything except my serving God. That's what it's got to be. That's the way it's got to be. You should never put your friends and your recreational activities and all that ahead of your family. And you should never put your family ahead of God. Amen. Guys, I'm going to tell you what. Your family can become an idol in your life. Did you realize that? When you start doing more things with your family than you do for God, you've made your family an idol in your life. A lot of people don't look at it that way, but that's true. What is an idol? Anything that you put ahead of serving God is an idol in your life. We need to focus on family, but we need to make sure we're putting our family in the right spot. Guys, children are not seeing commitment to family from their parents a lot of times. Children are not seeing commitment to family from their parents a lot of times. Guys, if you want to be successful parents in this world, you've got to be committed to raising your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You need to instill in them the values that they're going to take with them the rest of their life. And what does Proverbs 22:6 say? It says, bring up a child in the way he should go, and when he grows old, he won't depart from it. Guys, we're having a lot of people depart from things, but guess what? They're departing because they never were taught it. They never did have those things instilled in their lives. Parents just let them grow up and didn't instill the importance of church, didn't instill the importance of serving God, didn't instill the importance of reading your Bible. And we wonder why the world's in the mess it's in, right? We wonder why, unfortunately, our young people are getting arrested for doing things that they ought not be doing. And it's not just our young people. But I'm focusing on that because guess what? It's our generations that are responsible for our young people. We should do a better job of making sure that they're getting what they need. How long has it been, husbands and wives, since you told each other you loved each other? That ought to be an everyday, multiple time a day thing if you really love your spouse. Because I'm going to tell you what, you never know when the Lord's going to call one or the other of you home. I'd hate to think that people are in a relationship that you married somebody, you don't even tell them you love them. What kind of relationship is that? I don't even want you to raise your hand if you fit that. I'm just telling you, something wrong with that, amen? Amen. You ought to be telling your spouse how much you love them each and every day. I told you a little story before, I'm going to say it again. When I first married Vicki, she ain't in here, so I'm going to talk now. Amen. Amen. When we first got married and she would talk to her parents on the phone or her sisters and all, I mean, they told each other they loved each other at least 10 times during the conversation. When she'd get off the phone, I was like, honey, there ain't that much love in the world. And then she just kept on. She never would quit. And I just, you know what? That sank in with me because I realized, man, y'all really do love each other. I love my family, but I never told them that much. And you know what it helped me do? It helped me get to where I was more comfortable saying it over and over again. I want to encourage you, folks. Tell your spouses you love them. Tell your children you love them. If you don't tell it and you don't show it, how are they going to know it? Woo, I'm rhyming today, amen. Tell it, show it, know it. Amen. All right. Guys, we got to do that. We got to do that. Children aren't seeing a lot of commitment to family from their parents. How long has it been since you told your spouse you loved them? When was the last time you gave your spouse a gift just for no reason, just out of the blue, just to say, hey, I love you. I wanted to do that for you. Shouldn't necessarily have to be a special occasion, although, gentlemen, Tuesday is Valentine's Day. Let me remind you of that. Amen. Don't be like me and have to run and computer generate a card because everybody's already bought all the Valentine cards. Amen. So let me just remind you about that, guys, okay? That's coming up pretty quick now. You know, children, when was the last time you did something special for your parents without them having to ask you? Just to impress your mom and dad and do something nice for them. The Bible defines the way a family should be. Here's what the Bible says. I'm going to talk about wives and husbands and children here for a minute. Wives are to submit unto their husbands. Now, I know what a lot of women think when they read that verse and they hear that verse. They're like, I ain't going to be no doormat for that man. Amen. God don't want you to be a doormat for that man. But God wants you to submit to him and recognize he should be the spiritual leader of your family. That's another reason America's in the mess it's in today, because too many women are having to be the spiritual leader of their family. And that isn't the way God intended for it to be. Men, we need to step up to the plate. We need to take our godly role, and we need to be godly men, and we need to then expect our wives to submit to us. When we're godly men and they're submitting to us, then here's what should happen. Here's what should happen. Once our wives are submissive to us, then we will love them as Christ loved the church. That's what we're supposed to do. Husbands are supposed to love their wives like Christ loved the church. It's a love and respect thing. You respect your husband, wives, he in turn will love you. You disrespect your husband, wives, he in turn is going to show you things that don't seem loving. It works hand in hand, trust me. There's a book called Love and Respect. I want to encourage you to get it and read it. It's a great book. It talks about how important it is for the husband and wife to portray their godly roles in a relationship each and every day. Wives are to submit unto their husbands. Husbands are to love their wives and not be bitter against them. Husbands should never embitter their wives. Because guess what? Men, can I get an amen for this? We couldn't live without them, amen. Can I get a witness there? Men, y'all don't sound convinced, and your wives are looking at y'all right now. If you agree, men, that you can't live without your wives, I want to hear an amen. Amen. Boy, some of y'all in trouble today. Woo. Amen. I didn't hear but three amens there. Okay, wives, fair game. Go for it. All right, I tried to get it out of them today, amen, but they didn't want to be submissive today. Amen. All right, a wife has no problem being submissive to a loving husband. If you as a wife know your husband loves you, then you're more willing to be submissive to him and listen to what he's saying. Because that's his godly role. That's the way it's supposed to be. Children will love and honor their parents who love them and teach them according to the Bible. You know why children become embittered toward their parents? Because their parents are acting worse than they are. But yet their parents try to tell them, you ought to be doing this, you ought to be doing that. Well, why aren't you doing it, Mom? Why aren't you doing it, Dad? Hey, that's called a what? A hypocrite, right? That's called a hypocrite. The next B that you need to be, and this is the third and final one, is you need to be committed to your church. You need to be committed to your church. We should be committed to church attendance. Guys, unless there's something holding us out for a very good reason, we ought to be in God's house every opportunity we get. Because I'm going to tell you what, I don't know about you, but I don't want to surround myself with ungodly people and ungodly living and ungodly thinking. I want to come here as often as I can and surround myself with people who are thinking the same way I do, who believe the same way I do. I don't want to go out there in that world and go sit around with all these people. And I'm not saying I don't love them. I love them with the love of Jesus. But I'm not going to fellowship with them if they're not born-again believers. You might say, well, preacher, that's harsh. No, that isn't. That's biblical. We ought not be yoking ourselves unequally with people who don't believe the same way we do. That's another reason why there's a lot of divorce in America. You got a godly person here marrying an ungodly person there. That wasn't ever meant to be in God's eyes. It won't work. 90% of the time, it probably won't work. You're going to end up giving in to their way, the ungodly way. I could just about guarantee that before they'll give in to the godly way of doing things. We should not forsake the assembling together of ourselves, as is the manner of some. We should want to come together with fellow believers. You ought to want to get together with other people who believe in Jesus. Yeah, it's funny listening to some of these people out there in the world. They say their crazy stuff and do their crazy stuff. But guess what? Every time you laugh at them, what's that telling them? Hey, man, I think that's cool. Instead of separating yourself away from that and just like, you know what I do when people start acting ungodly and all that? I just migrate away from them. I don't say anything ugly to them. I just kind of move myself away from that. And that sends a clear message to them that, hey, he doesn't want to be around that. And you know what a lot of people do when they're around me? They make doubly sure they watch what they say. And I appreciate that, because I'll walk away from it if they start using all kind of vulgarity and profanity and all that kind of stuff. I can't be around that, because that destroys my witness if I'm going to continue to hang around with people like that and laugh at them and think they're funny. Guys, we got to be committed. Your family should never need to ask, are we going to go to church today? That ought to be a gimme. How many of you remember the day and age years ago where there wasn't any option? You were getting up and you were going to church. Amen. If you remember that, say amen. Amen. I tell you what. There wasn't any, oh, well, I don't feel well. Well, you know what? Our rule at our house was, if you weren't throwing up and didn't have a fever and you couldn't prove it simultaneously, you're going to church. Amen. So you better be having a fever and doing that together. But guys, you know, we've gotten away from that a lot of times. And you know what? That goes back on the parents. The parents are not expecting their children to do that. Therefore, they're giving in and allowing their children to just do things the way they want to do it. Guess what? We're the parents. Amen. We're the ones that are supposed to dictate and set the parameters. And if church is important and you know it's important, that ought to be a parameter in the life of your family. That ought to be a parameter. Many people have what I call Sundayitis. It's an epidemic. You know what Sundayitis is? One sneeze. Oh, I got to stay in bed. I'm not feeling good today. But guess what? You grab a handkerchief and you're off to work on Monday, don't you? I'm too sick to go to church, but I'll get up and I'll go to work. Sundayitis. A lot of people got it. It's an epidemic in this world today. Just too tired on Sunday night. Get too busy to go to church. Folks, when you get too busy to go to church, you're too busy. Amen. If you got too much going on that you can't give God at least one day out of the week to come to His house, you're too busy. And trust me, if you're a born-again believer, God's going to help you shave out some of that in your life. He'll do it one way or another. Trust me. He'll do it. He'll do it. Guys, there's just too many things going on in our lives today. How many of you would agree with that? We take on too much sometimes, amen? I know I do. I take on too much and I can't give it my all in everything that I'm taking on sometimes. And you know, when I step back and look at it, I'm like, you know what? I don't think I was real effective in a lot of the things I just did this week because I tried to do too much. And I didn't get it done the way I wanted to get it done. So sometimes we need to step back. Guys, we should be committed to church growth. Let me ask you a question. How many people did you talk to this past week about godly things, church and stuff like that? How many did you talk to about Christ last week? Guys, if we believe in the Great Commission, we ought to be talking to people about Jesus. We ought not be afraid to talk to people about Jesus. How many friends did you invite this week? Guys, if you're not willing to take the time, then you're not committed to church growth. If you say, yeah, I want to see Bethesda Baptist grow and be all it can be, it's not going to happen if we don't all take the time to go out and share with people and invite people. It's not going to happen. We should also be committed to church needs. Let me tell you about some needs here for a minute. We need to be committed to giving to the church. Yeah, I'm going to talk about offering here for just a minute. I know a lot of people are like, I don't preach about tithing and all that. You can't tell me that I harp on that here at this church, because I don't. But I'm going to tell you something. When we're talking about commitment, I'm going to mention it today. I'm going to talk to you about that today. Guys, we're quick to get our paycheck every week and we'll go do whatever we want to do with it, don't we? We'll go buy this. We'll go buy that. We'll go spend here. We'll go spend there. When it comes to church, that offering plate comes around and all some of you do is drop a dollar or two in there. And guess what? If that's all you can give, then praise God. You did just like the widow woman who gave those two mites. That's all she had. She gave what she could give. But guys, if you can be giving more, you ought to give more. Because you know what? The reason you got that job is because God blessed you with it. Amen. And some of you don't take time to realize that. Some of you don't take time to give back to God. You think that I'm not, that's my money and I gotta make sure. You know, that's your problem right there. You think everything